You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Even though buying sex is illegal in most of the country, the majority of people arrested for crimes related to prostitution are women selling sex. The federal government recently began cracking down on websites that host sex ads, but some sex workers say that punishes them, too, by forcing them onto the streets. Well, John School takes a different approach. It's like traffic school, except the goal is to educate people who've been arrested for soliciting prostitutes. KALW's justice reporter Holly J. McDeed spent an eight-hour day with a class at John School.
About 30 men and one woman sit in an empty jury room in San Francisco's Hall of Justice. John School is in session, and a nurse named Douglas Long is about to give these students a lesson they probably haven't heard since high school sex ed.
Every person you're with, every person that that person was with, or every infection that person had, you could be exposed to that. You see where I'm going with this?
If they don't, in fact, see where he's going with this, Douglas has a slideshow presentation on the ready, and it is about to get visual. There is a photo of herpes, there is chlamydia, there is gonorrhea.
It's a dangerous world. There's this idea that you can look at somebody, you can walk down the street and see somebody and say, oh yeah, she's not clean, I better watch out. Okay, the point is, you can't tell.
Everyone in this class has been busted by the cops for trying to buy sex. The deal is, if they finish John School, they have the chance to get their arrest record sealed. It's a diverse bunch, early 20s to early 60s. A guy in a suit, a married couple who hold hands. The people in this room do not look happy to be here. They clap meekly, like they're scared of seeming too excited.
Thank you very much for your attention. Please, be safe, use common sense, and have a good life.
The rest of John School is a day-long crash course on manhood, objectification, and sex trafficking. Instructors talk about everything from sex addiction to emotional violence to Maslow's hierarchy of needs. One man in the program, who we'll call Malcolm, is practically a star student as far as John School goes. He seems eager to take this class and raises his hand to answer almost every question. We're not using his real name, and we changed his voice to protect his identity.
It's really degrading to me to think that I could have been a part of that or do something like that.
Malcolm was caught by an undercover cop during an online sting operation. He says he was working 80-plus hours a week, and buying sex seemed like a quick way to reward himself and find some release.
When you don't really do anything for yourself, you kind of get brain dead inside, too. And then you have all these other issues happen to you that like affect you and make you not think properly anymore.
After he was arrested, Malcolm learned he could get his record sealed if he attended John School. He was so grateful he even assigned himself homework before the class. He listened to TED Talks on sexual exploitation and read up on human trafficking.
I made a mistake, and that mistake could cost me a lot. And it's really important to make sure that I take it very seriously.
John School started in 1995. It was the beginning of the dot-com boom. Wealthy residents were flocking to San Francisco. When they saw sex workers on the streets, many of them called the cops. Jails were packed with people arrested for selling sex. Terry Jackson was an assistant district attorney in the city at the time. She remembers sitting in her office one day, flipping through arrest records for people charged with offenses related to prostitution.
And I was looking at the people who were being charged. They were all women. No, they weren't even women. They were young girls. But never the Johns, as we used to call them, the people who were exploiting these young people.
Soon after that, a cop and a former sex worker walked into her office. It sounds like the setup for a bad joke, but they were serious. Norma Hotalling, the former sex worker, shared her story. She said she kept getting arrested over and over again. Even the cop said he was tired of that same revolving door.
And they said, we have a plan. We can make a dent, maybe a small dent, and ending the cycle, and that's getting to the people who are paying for this sex trade.
Terry told them she was in. And so, with backing from the DA's office and funding from the city, John School began. What made this program so groundbreaking, Terry says, was that it created a space for people who had been exploited to speak to buyers directly.
But they had to understand how their conduct impacted not only the young girls and boys, but the community and our whole system.
Now there are John Schools in dozens of cities around the country. In 2008, the National Institute of Justice released a study on John School. It showed that people who attended were at least 30% less likely to be arrested for soliciting a prostitute. But some researchers, like Samantha Magic, are skeptical of those findings.
Nobody can say for sure whether these men are now just getting smarter about how they purchase sex or perhaps doing it in another state or city.
Samantha is a political science professor at John Jay College in New York. She says that arresting Johns still criminalizes and stigmatizes the sex industry. And that, she says, can make sex workers even more vulnerable.
No matter who you're targeting with criminalization, you're forcing this kind of work further underground.
But at John School, you won't hear lectures from researchers like Samantha about decriminalizing the sex trade. And you won't hear presentations from women choosing to be in the industry either. John School doesn't leave much room for the possibility that sex work could ever be consensual. The whole point of the program is to teach men that buying sex is inherently wrong.
Can everyone stand up? Everyone stand up?
But students at John School will hear from one woman pressured to work in the sex industry. Sylvia Perry introduces herself as a former prostitute. She encourages the Johns in the room to loosen up. She wants everyone to know she's not here to shame them.
Can everyone jump up and down? Jump. Okay, you gotta jiggle the liver once in a while.
Sylvia talks about her childhood growing up all over the Bay Area. Her dad hit on her friends and would tape porn to the refrigerator.
And from my earliest memory, I was rewarded for dressing and acting sexy. And I think I even did that today just to get your attention.
As an adult, Sylvia worked at massage parlors. She felt sexualized every moment of her life, and she hated it.
It got to the point after every session I would go into the bathroom and chant, I've got to get out of this.
It's clear Sylvia has been through a lot of trauma. But not everything she says is backed by science. Like when she talks about male and female brains.
Women's and men's brains are different, right? Have you ever noticed, like, a man, if you ask a man how they are, they're like, great. If you ask a woman how they are, they say, you know, oh, I have my period. It's raining outside. My car doesn't work. I have a doctor's appointment. You know that thing?
After the talk is over, she hands me a sticker that says boycott porn and prostitution. Not all people in the sex trade agree with that sentiment. But for Sylvia, sex work was exploitative and it was degrading. And she says people should at least consider that perspective, whether or not it's true for everyone in the industry.
People don't know what it really is, what prostitution really is, the unglamorous version of it. But that's my take on it, and through the filters of my life.
It's hard to tell if John School is an effective way to address sexual exploitation. But Terry Jackson, who helped start the program, says what matters is that the city is trying something different, something other than arresting women who are pushed to sell sex to survive.
Will I say that it ended the sex trafficking in San Francisco? By no stretch of the imagination. You know, my grandmother always told me, just make an impact. And that little impact can cause other things to happen.
Since John School began, there have been national movements to end the demand for paid sex. Around the country, there are billboard campaigns that target Johns and initiatives where residents write letters to sex buyers about the impact of their actions. But because the demand hasn't gone away, John School is never short of students. In fact, the next John School class will take place next month. A dozen or so people will once again file into the Hall of Justice. There, they'll get a lesson on the sex trade they probably won't hear anywhere else. In San Francisco, I'm Holly J. McDeed for Cross Currents.
Holly is KELW's justice reporter. You can reach her at justice@KELW.org.